Hello, everyone. This is George Watkins. Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday to you on this Sunday night that we get to spend some time together. And this is a new venture as we're getting accustomed to some new software and a new way of doing our video for at least Sunday nights. I love to spend time in the Word of God, and I love to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And I remember, as you all do, I'm sure many of you remember the Sunday night blessings when we came back at that second service and had more time to teach or pray or fellowship. Well, some of those things aren't happening now. Sunday night is not common anymore. There are a few Sunday night services, but a few months ago, the Lord began to prod me to do a Sunday night live broadcast. So here we are. This is our second one. And this is Easter week, isn't it? The week that we prepare for our Easter service. We did a sunrise service for nearly 30 years. We have a little mountain here in town. Actually, it's called Little Mountain. And we were there most of those Sunday Easter mornings early, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, here we are on the Sunday before, and this is what is called, Good Friday came and went and so forth. There's a lot of names the church has put on this week, but we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day of the year, don't we? Because it is the foundational linchpin for our security in Christ and who we are in Christ. And it's an amazing explosion of revelation when you begin to dig into some of the scriptures that we read often and know a little bit about. But when you dig into the depth of some of the things God has showed us through the scriptures, it's just a wonderful thing to do. So today we're going to do that a little bit. I'm going to go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to talk a little bit about no condemnation and free from sin and free from death. Let me remind you that you can send or you can give a comment. And also, if I have the ability to walk and chew gum at the same time, I'll be able to read those comments or perhaps a question. Don't get too complicated. I'm still learning to ride this sucker. You say, well, wait a minute, we've had nearly 750 videos since we started our morning sessions, and the morning videos are much less complex. So this is a new venture. Thank you for bearing with me as we journey on into these days. Praise God. Be sure and hit the like buttons and the thumbs up. Share this with somebody. Matter of fact, you got a friend that would like to hear a good word tonight, give them a call. Tell them we're on the air. Amen. I used to have to go to the radio to do this. I remember the radio days starting back in about 1973. I was living in Portland, pastoring with my father, and they had a radio station in Seattle that was accepting Christian broadcasting. And I got a spot at midnight that they had not, they went off the air at midnight. That's how where I started. And I started a broadcast for 15 minutes every night, 5 nights a week on the Seattle radio station. And the name of the broadcast was "For Christ's Sake, Be Ye Kind One to Another, Tenderhearted, Forgiving One Another, Even As God for Christ's Sake Has Forgiven You." Well, that was my launching into radio. And I've been on and off of radio for a number of years. One of our radio broadcasts, I think in the 80s and 90s, we were on Aquila. It was an island out in the Caribbean that reached West Africa. And we did a Bible study, mail-in Bible study. They could send in for it. We'd send back to it. It's just a beautiful thing to do. And we had hundreds of different students that went through our Bible courses. So radio was then, but now it's internet. And the internet has to do with some things that make it work. And one of them is subscriptions, sharing, liking, comments. Somehow they pay attention to that, and it goes out in a bigger and a broader congregation. See where I'm from. Sound like a pastor, don't I? An audience. So Romans 8, let's spend some time with that tonight. And I'm going to just break down a few things out of the Amplified. And then I've got my mirror Bible that is a paraphrase translation of the Testaments. That's just some pretty exciting stuff. In 1956, 6 or 7, we had an evangelist come to our church in Washougal, Washington, and he preached for 5 or 6 nights on Romans 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death." That was 15, and that has stayed with me, and has obviously developed more and grown. But the hook in my spirit in that verse has done some wonderful things in the security of my walk, because God has done things for us that I don't want to sound like I'm negative against any church. That's not the point of my statement here, but there are some teachings, some churches that teach that it's not very deep. It's, you know, do the best you can, as long as you love Jesus, and you'll make it into heaven someday, and hope you make it. Hope you don't sin before you make. Now I'm maybe a little stretch, but not much. When we begin to dig in or get into the revelation of what some of these verses that we read so much about, when we dig into them, it becomes an amazing miracle revelation of just how secure and how wonderfully free we are in God. Now, about 30 years ago, we begin to hear the subject of grace. And then, of course, a separation came. It was during the heyday, or the day when we were in what we call the faith teaching or the faith movement, which we still are, but, you know, it's not branded like it was. And so the grace teaching came along, and we had the grace teachers, and then we had the other teachers. Well, grace is always there. Not, as they say, not greasy grace, where we just do what we want and God doesn't care. But grace, really, the word grace is the empowering power of God to take you to your destiny, to bring you to your target, to bring you to where God has planned you to be. That's grace. Now, mercy is what God did for you on the cross and the resurrection. That's mercy. You didn't deserve that. You and I deserved the penalty of death, which was the judgment that came from sinning. Now, this chapter 7 and chapter 8 in the book of Romans is really a foundational chapters and a foundational teaching. And it's talking about the law that could not deal with our sin issue. What the law did was just expose sin, and that was one of the purposes of the law. The law says, do not walk in the grass. So we walk in the grass, and it exposes the fact that we broke the law. Do not go over the speed limit. When we do, we are breaking the law. So a law is something that kind of puts a benchmark or a mark there, you know, in the sand. It's like the kids fighting in the schoolyard, and the one guy says, oh yeah, step across this line. Draws a line in the sand, you know, and the other guy says, oh yeah, here I come. Well, fight's on. They stepped across the line and broke the law. Okay. Now, what do we do, and how has God dealt with this problem of the law failing? The law of the Old Testament, the law that Moses and the patriarchs of the Old Testament walked in. Before the foundation, before the beginning of anything, when he laid the foundation of everything that we are living in, walking in, and breathing in, he made a provision for Jesus to be sacrificed. And he had it in advance that the answer was always there before the problem showed up. Now, that's a miracle. That's a miracle principle that you can depend on in your walk with God. You'll find it through the Old Testament, where before the problem came, he had the answer. David, especially, I love David's writings and in the Psalms when he talks about God taking him out of trouble and delivering him out of trouble. And I love the Old Testament men and women of God who talked about the angel going before them, or the Lord, you know, the Spirit of God providing a ram in the thicket. When Abraham took Isaac to the mountaintop under the commands of God to sacrifice his own son, and there was a ram or a sheep, a male sheep, caught in the bushes, trapped in the bushes. And God says, hold your hand. And he looked over there, and there was the sacrifice already. That's the principle that God has dealt with in our life. Before we even knew what sin was, God dealt with sin in our life through Jesus Christ. So let's read just a little bit out of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. I'm in the Amplified. And it says, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, that is, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. You and I, without the Spirit of God dwelling in us, cannot fulfill any kind of rules or laws. Now, when Jesus went away and came back, he said, I'm going to go. He took the blood of his own sacrifice to the Father, and it was perfected. It was pure sacrifice, sinless. And the Father accepted it as the redemption plan. So Jesus then came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came back and came into us in the example of the disciples. They received it in time and space in Acts 2. But that came to the church. That came to the body of Christ, you and me. We are the body of Christ, the ecclesia. The Holy Spirit then. So when you receive Jesus, when you receive Christ, I got saved. I asked him into my heart. I asked him to forgive me. I received the cross. I believe in the cross and the resurrection. The Spirit of God comes in. And that's what opens up our spirit to God's spirit. It's a miracle. It's the miracle of regeneration. Now, because of that, then, we are not under the yoke of the flesh. Well, you say, the flesh is still here. I'm weak in this area, or I have temptation, all those things are real. Temptation's real. If temptation wasn't real, it wouldn't be temptation, would it? So I just love the story of Jesus in the wilderness, because he was tempted. And the Bible says Jesus was tempted like we are tempted, because he was a man in human body. And the reason he took on the form of the human flesh, the human body, is because he had to walk in our shoe leather. So what, it was a test run. He was the test pilot for this 747 we're on. He was the test pilot, and he walked it out so that we in him, and because he made a way for us, we are able now to go through temptation without failing. Temptation is not the sin, it's the failing, it's the yielding to temptation. What did the old boy say about the birds flying over your head? You can't stop them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest on your head or in your hair, if you got any left. Okay. So here we are then in a body we call the flesh, but the scripture says that I don't have to yield to that part of me because I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Now, I love what Jesus did. I want to take some time on this maybe in this next week or two, but I love what Jesus did in the wilderness. Now, you notice that Satan came to him and said, and he came to Jesus in a very real, up-to-date temptation. He hadn't eaten in 40 days, and the first thing he tempted him with was bread. If you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and take a chew on them, you know, fill yourself up. But Jesus responded with the word of God. It is written. It is written, it is written. In this case, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now notice, temptation was resisted by spiritual fire, spiritual cannons, the word of God. Now remember, the word of God, when you speak it out of your mouth, is living. It's living word. It's not just sound syllables and utterance. It is the life of God that comes out of your mouth. And Paul said, it is nigh thee, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's what we've been preaching to you. Come on, guys, catch a hold of it. We've been talking about this. It's in your mouth, or it's in your mind, or in your memory, and so it's coming through your mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So that's statement there, confessing the Lord Jesus, is kind of a condensed picture of all the commandments, you know, all the promises and the miracles and the words he's given us. It's not just getting saved. It's the walk of faith. And it's the thing we do to overcome temptation. Okay, I'm not tempted to steal, not tempted to rob banks, not tempted to do all those other things that we may list as temptation, but I'm tempted to doubt. Uh-oh, that's a secret pastime. I'm tempted to fear. Whoa, nobody knows that because I hide when I'm afraid. I'm tempted to criticize. Well, nobody knows. I'll just tell you and don't tell nobody about Fred, you know, or Marty or whatever his name is. No. See, that's the temptation, just like the temptation of sexual sins or dishonesty or, you know, robbery and so forth. You answer them in the same way, and that is just like Jesus answered them in the wilderness. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, and so forth. When he did that, God did something back for him. And when he resisted the devil, now here's the verse, remember. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, how do you resist the devil? You resist the devil by speaking the same types of words that Jesus spoke in his temptation, and that was the word of God, the words that God has put in your mind. Now, not just the Bible, but the essence of the Bible. You catch that? Catch the difference? Not just scripture and verse. Like I can quote John 3:16. I can quote some of the verses that I know by heart, you know. But there's an essence or a package called, I am a son of God, and I have authority, and I have the ability to say no. God has set me free, and I've known this long enough to say this. Get out of here. Go. You're not speaking to me like that. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Now, you won't find that in chapter and verse, but you'll find verses that will build and make that authority legal for you to say. Now, the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, when Jesus did this, the devil left him. There you go. And when the devil was resisted, he left. Resist the devil and he will flee. So that's temptation. Now we're talking about being freed from sin and death in this Romans 8 verse. But the temptation is not to believe that, or maybe not to know it to its depth. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I am sometimes I'm not. No, I want you to catch a hold of the power of this thing that captures your spirit and your soul and your emotions and your thinking and your speech until you're not up and down like a roller coaster, you know, in and out like a swinging door, as they say, but you are on solid rock. You are stable on what God has done in your life. So the condemnation is from the law, not the fact that you did a bad deed and you're feeling condemned. That's what we talk about that also. But the big one is the huge condemnation that came down on me because of the law he's dealt with. And because of that, James says, don't sin. But if you do, you've got someone that is your justifier. And he stands next to you and justifies you. All you have to do is repent. He says, just repent. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So there you go. Now that can't happen. That can't happen without understanding the fact that you need to resist temptation. I'll tell you what, you can have the greatest experience in the church, in the altar, and I've seen it to my sorrow so many times. When someone comes in and receives Christ, has a tremendous, experience. We love to see all the things happen when they realize sin is gone and forgiven. But they are not able to resist the temptation to doubt. They get out and the enemy says, oh, that was fun. Now go out, do what you want because that wasn't real. And they have no support group, or they have nobody to walk with them into their strength and maturity. And they are tempted to doubt, and then they let it go. And it's as if it never happened, in the sense, in the practical way of living under that condemnation of sin and death. There is therefore now, because of Christ, the law has been fulfilled in Christ. The law judged you guilty, and you were going to be sentenced to death. Sin had condemned you, but Jesus came along and paid the penalty, and you are now free from sin and death. Now, look at me. Look me in the eye. I'm not ever going to die. Now, okay. If you tune me out now, you'll miss the rest of the statement. This old earth suit may have a time stamp on it, but my spirit man is eternally alive. You say, well, I don't know if I take comfort from that. Well, the sting of death is gone because of the eternal rewards and the eternal life we have in Christ. Okay. Now, I want to encourage you all this week, as we enter into Easter, to do some digging around in your personal, there's a word I want to say here, and it's kind of like marinating, where you stay in it long enough to where it seeps into the cracks. Amen. Take Romans 8 and meditate upon it. Now, when I say read it, that's, you have to get it in your eyeballs, and then it goes into your brain, and then into your soul, and down into your spirit. If you'll do that, and then find a place you can shut yourself away, close your eyes, so you're not peeking around trying to think, and let God speak this back to you, and then read it again, and let him speak again, and you'll find that it'll leap into you. There's some words that will begin to get a hold of your spirit. There's some things that will begin to strengthen those areas where you haven't said, you haven't resisted, or you haven't said, no, I'm not allowing that thing, that temptation, or that fear, or that worry, or that broken, soul that causes me to feel intimidated and fearful and rejected. God has received you in the family. And I thank God for that every day. And that's something. This is the Easter miracle. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made it possible for us to be free from the law that condemned us to death. And he gave us life everlasting. Now, I don't know how long everlasting is, but it seems like it's a long time. It's like the word all, study it, go to the schools, go to different colleges and study the word all. I think it still means all, everything. It's like everlasting. How long is everlasting? A long time. Well, I love you guys. I really appreciate all the comments. I see some comments that came in. I'm going to look at them in a minute. Thank you for watching and being with me today. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that unites us together as one. I thank you for this medium of exchange that we're able to speak life and hope and liberty into so many others that ordinarily we wouldn't be able to do that without this ability. I bless those that are with me in this live broadcast, and I bless those that are going to be with me as it's repeated through the next days and weeks. And I say to those that are tuning in at a later date, Be encouraged in the Lord today, for this is the day that God has chose for you to be free from some of the things that have been tying you down, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love you guys. Don't forget, continue to do all the things that I like to tell you to do. And when you do, remember, let's pray for the nation. Let's pray for our pastors. Let's pray for those in authority, the Bible says. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but some of those folks that are in authority over us, they need a lot of prayer. And you say, well, I'm praying that God will hit him in the head with a brick. No, 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 no. That might be the wrong attitude. That's the old guy who wants to do that. But the new man in Christ says, Lord, you know how to deal with them. I won't leave it up to you. You're the master at this thing, Lord. Amen. Okay, I will see you next Sunday night live. But until then, be sure and tune in to our morning broadcast early in the morning. We'll see you tomorrow again. And I thank you for coming by. I thank you for being a part of our life. And we will see you then. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.